Man, listen. All this internet shit. Man, it's like the wild, wild west out here. Cyborg Nation, mount up. Rah!
You know what time it is. It's time for Cyber Shot.
All right, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
All right. Hey, first and foremost, I appreciate your time, sir.
Not a problem.
Hey, okay. Before we get started, ladies and gentlemen, you know where to find me at. You can find me on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Stitcher, Radio Public, and Anchor FM, other platforms as well. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest who goes by the name of Leonard Campbell Trey. Did I say it right?
Just Leonard Campbell. It's really Leonard Campbell III, the Trey, you know how that goes.
My bad. But first and foremost, I would like for you to shout out your social medias and let people know where they can find you at and what it is that you do.
Facebook, I'm Leonard Campbell Trey, which you mentioned. I'm also on Instagram, both as my company and as myself. It's Leonard Campbell Online at IG, and Business Builders Alliance is also my IG. Twitter, pretty much the same, kind of branded the same everywhere you go. So look for Leonard Campbell or Business Alliance, and you're going to connect me somehow, somewhere.
Okay, that's cool. That's what's up. And I was checking you out the other day, and you were talking about, you said a lot of y'all are not broke, but you only have one source of income.
That's most people.
Yeah. And you actually teach class on finances as well?
Yeah, that came out of necessity. I have three companies, but the company that's really still in its startup phase is Business Builders Alliance. And that was born out of necessity because I do business funding for startups or really any business that needs money. And what I discovered is literally nine out of 10 or 90% of the people that I speak to can get funded. And it really comes down to they're not structured in a way that makes them fundable. A lot of guys will start a small business and it remains a small business because they have no plan for growth. They typically have capitalized it using their own personal credit or whatever money that they had and grew it from there. The problem with that is, let's take a typical business. Let's say you do car repair. Okay. Now, you can be the world's greatest mechanic, but the equipment costs with today's technology, the things that you need to be a standalone mechanic, you know, can be about $250,000 just to start up, you know.
Right.
And if you don't have a plan for growth, you don't have a plan for marketing, you don't have funding to make that investment pay for itself, you're going to fail inside of 2.5-3 years. That's pretty much the average. You just fail, not because you were a bad business. You fail because you were underfunded.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Okay. So
what happens, it typically with minority enterprises, what happens is, they think the only place they can get funding is through a bank. That's what they know. That's what they've been taught. Go to the bank. Well, guess who's the last person who's going to fund you?
Exactly.
You know, banks, you know, funding is a risk business. It's like insurance. So if you come to me and you say, hey, you know, I got a great business plan. I got this. I got that. You know, all I need is some money for marketing, hire a few people, and I mean, we can really get this thing, you know, going and strong and doing what it needs to do. Well, the problem with that is, you know, the first thing you're going to get hit with, all lenders follow what's called the three C's of lending, which basically are cash flow, credit, and collateral. That's it. It's really simple. So okay. If you got good cash flows, you're going to get funded. And good cash flows to a bank starts, the baseline is $10,000 or more in revenue per month consistently for at least 6 months or more. Okay.
Okay.
At least have that. That's the minimum. If you don't have that, then we're going to go to C number two, which is credit. Well, remember, these guys started on a shoestring. They probably maxed out their credit cards. They borrowed and begged from whomever they could get. So they're, right. they're carrying a large debt load, but they don't have the cash flow coming in for it. You know, so then we, as a lender, we say, okay, cool. What else do you have? What is there something of value that you have in the business or in your private portfolio that we can look at and say, okay, we can use this as collateral against a loan for funding? You know, now if you have property, cool. Like I said, most of the equipment, just a startup, is $250,000. Now, if you own it outright, well, hey, we can use that as collateral. Typically, those are financed, so you're already in debt and you're paying on that, you know. So right. you eventually get tapped out. Now, had that person spoken to a person like me before they even opened their door to say, well, this is what I want to do. The first thing we would have done is built them a business credit portfolio, which has nothing to do with their social security number. It's built entirely off of your EIN number, you know, your tax ID number.
Right.
That way, you're not personally liable if you default on the loan. You know, the business goes under, the debt dies with the business. That's the first thing. So that's a safety net for you. The other thing is that it's a different criteria to build business credit as opposed to personal credit. Personal credit is based off of your debt to income ratio, your payment history, and several other variables that are there to establish personal credit. Business credit is built off of pure economics. You got money coming in, okay, good. You got good cash flow, then all we need to do is scale that up for you. You know, the other thing that a lot of people don't understand is America is built on debt. You have to know how to manage your debt in a way that it's profitable and not something that becomes an anchor around your neck and it's pulling you under.
Okay.
You know, and that's really the secret. And as you scale things, you know, there's more cash in the kitty, and then you're able to pay off debt quicker and all those things. So I'm going to use some really simple numbers because it just makes good, easy to do in your head. Let's say, okay, we're back to the guy who's trying to start out as whatever. So what we do is we build him a business credit profile, which are built off of vendors first, and then eventually as you got more vendors, more credit history. I mean, you really can really accelerate this to up to $1 million in your first year. And you can build a credit portfolio of $1 million and not even have made dollar one, you know, in your business. Yes, yes. Because it's all based on you start out typically with no credit, which is the worst thing to have. So we go to vendors first that will finance small amount, $500, $100 or whatever. And you utilize things in your business, like you're going to utilize papers, pens, whatever.
Right.
That are basic things. You pay them back. You know, they give it to you on credit. You pay it back. Doing it creates a history, you know. And then you're able to take that history and go to another type of vendor. And they say, well, okay, well, yeah, this guy, he's a good payer, you know, because like I said, America's built on debt, you know. So now let's say the guy gets, $2,500 from a vendor as his limit, but it's in something that he could sell in that business. Let's say, a wholesale case of motor oil for him to do oil changes, you know. Now he's able to be competitive because he's buying a bulk amount on credit. Let's say, you know, he gets a case of 100 quarts for, I don't know, these are fictitious numbers, so that, you know, not these numbers, but let's just say he gets them for $100. A case of 100 for $100. So that's $1 a piece for a quart of oil. He turns around and he offers oil change services for, in my area, they go typically anywhere from $35 to as much as $50 or as much as really $75 if it's synthetic oil, you know. But he's got the wholesale price. So the only other price that's in there is his labor. Obviously, oil changes aren't very laborious. You know, so, you know, you turn a screw, drain it out, pull a filter out, put the filter in.
Right.
You know? Okay, so you got something that you had a cost of goods of $1 plus labor. You know, you charge, let's say, $25 an hour for labor. So you're able to do an oil change for, let's say, roughly $35. Well, at least 20 of that 30, well, actually it's more than that, but at least $25 of that 35 is nothing but pure profit. Actually, it's more than that. You know, it's close to $30. So you got $5 in it for your cost of goods and about $30 of profit. So how many of those do I need to do a day? Let's say you run a special and you're doing 100 of those a day. Well, that's $3,500 a day times six or seven. I don't know. It depends on what you know, how many days you're open. Let's just say times seven, seven times three, 20. So that's roughly about 24,000 and change just in doing oil changes.
Okay.
That's good cash flow.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
All right. So your $100 per case actually brings you back $5,000 a case in profit.
Damn.
And you did that all on credit. So you pay your, you know, you pay your $100 per case, you order some more. You know? Because it's good. Now you're able to expand because now you got good cash flow. Okay. Mostly all we do is this, but now I can add, you know, tune up. Now I can add, you know, actual mechanical work. Now I can add tires. I can add all kinds of things, you know, because it's all floating dollars. It's all based on credit, you know. So rather than using my money and buying these supplies, because, you know, I may only have, let's say, $5,000 of cash to utilize, period.
Right.
You know, well, if I'm buying it, how am I going to grow? Because I can only grow as fast as the amount of money that I have available. Whereas with credit, you know, I borrow it now, it may be a net 30, maybe a net 60, maybe a net 90. Let's say it's a net 90 on a case of 100. Well, I got 90 days to flip, turn that over and pay it back, you know, or pay a portion of it back. And then, you know, we just keep it going every 30 days until we pay the thing off. You know, but the thing of it is, you got good cash flow. And that's what credit allows you to do, is create significant cash flow, because there's money, you know, you don't have your actual cash involved in it. So you can grow this business faster. Now let's take the oil change thing. Now you got this thing doing, and let's say you're doing $20,000 a week in cash flow just on oil changes. Well, how hard is it to find another location and duplicate what you're doing now? So you find another location, once again, all on credit, not your money, using other people's money, and you've doubled your income. Now you're at $40,000. You know, now you doubled your profitability, you doubled everything, and your expenses are double, but they're low. You know, so right. So now you just keep. So that's when you hear lenders like myself say, okay, let's scale your operation. Well, at the end of the year, you should have 10 of those locations up. 10 locations making you $20,000 a week. There's 4 weeks in a month, so it's $80,000. Let's just say it's $100,000 just for easy math. $100,000 a month times 10 locations is $1 million a month.
Damn.
Going in cash flow. You think you're going to have problems borrowing money at that level? No. you're not going to have problems at half that level. Hell, if you break the, like I said, the baseline is $10,000. You're doing $10,000 consistently in business, you're going to get money.
Okay.
You know, because the reality of it is banks only loan money to people who can pay it back. It's really simple, you know. So it's like, well, how do I know you can pay it back? I can look at your register. I can see what, you know, what you're bringing in. You know,
right.
I got real numbers that I can show, hey, I'm doing this, you know, and that's just, that's why you see these oil chains, they're highly profitable, you know, on an oil chain. So the more you market, you throw your coupons out there your email, there's so many ways to advertise now, so dirt cheap that, you know, all you're doing there marketing is to bring in more customers, which, you know, $30 profit. Each car comes in there. You want them to be lined up.
That's right.
The funny thing about successful enterprises is people are curious. People driving on their way to work says, man, that place is always full. Let me see what's going on over there. And if you don't believe that's true, hey, let's look at the Popeye's chicken. You got people around the corners at Popeye's. Curiosity kills the cat. Well, that must be a hell of a sandwich. Let me see what the hell's going on over here at Popeye's.
Okay.
You know, so it builds up on itself until, you know, either some bad press, you know, everybody got botulism or somebody died or something from the chicken sandwich. But as long as everybody is having a good experience, everybody wins.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, and that's just basic business in America 101.
Okay. Now, another question I had wanted to ask you. I always see you with these nice cigars, man. What kind of cigars you smoke?
Oh, man. You know, I'm in Tampa, Florida, Cigar City, man. You know, so.
I'm in Orlando.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hey, come on over. You know, but, you know.
What's up?
It's like, you know, I'm a native, you know, native of Tampa. So, I've grown up on, you know, I mean, you know, I grew up in the shadows of cigar factories all around me. So, you know, hey, I know a little something about cigars, you know.
Yeah, I see that.
You know, so, yeah, so, you know, yeah, I'm, you know, I don't smoke cigarettes, but, you know, and I really didn't start smoking until probably in my 30s. And it really, I was out with a Arab friend of mine, and he says, hey, man, I want you to try something. You know, I go, well, what's that? You know, he says, well, hey, try the cigar. I go, well, dude, I don't even smoke. He says, yeah, I know that, but just try this. You know, so we're out drinking, having a good time. And I was like, by the time I got halfway, I'm going like, you know, I got my little buzz going. I'm like, man, that's all right. You know, I said, well, how much is this cigar? He said, oh, that cigar you're smoking, that's about $50. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So I said, if I'm going to develop a habit, you know, it's not going to be a habit that I have to think about, because literally the cigars you see me smoking typically are anywhere from, you know, $10 to sometimes I have one that, you know, $50, $100 cigar sometimes.
But, yeah, I've seen a couple. I smoke cigars. I've seen a couple of them $100 cigars you get.
So it's like, am I going to – and let me pull my phone up. I just saw my battery getting low. But so I don't want to develop a habit that's going to kill me. And, you know, when you got a $100 cigar, you got to literally think, I am literally taking a $100 bill, rolling it up, and setting it on fire.
That's right.
So when I smoke a cigar, it's more of a reward kind of thing for me.
Right.
A celebratory thing, because I don't have too many vices. That's just probably the only one that I got that, you know, I have to think about, okay, did you earn this one? You know, yeah. Okay, all right. Well, go ahead and light it up. You know, because you're literally writing. You know, whatever the cost of it is, you might as well just roll that up and build to smoke it. Because that's literally what you're doing.
Yeah, every now and then when I get that celebratory cigar, give me a chubby.
Ah, yeah. Here you go.
They go like $38.
Yeah.
That's like maybe three times a year. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, it's an expensive habit, man. I mean, you know, hey. It's like smoking crack sometimes, you know. So, I mean, I had one when, you know, I was waiting on you to kind of get everything set up, and I said, hey, I'm sitting here having a little leisure time. Let me relax a little bit. you know.
Yeah, you got to be dedicated to smoke a cigar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you're talking about, you know, an hour burn at least, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you got to have some time, some leisure time to even right. do that. So, yeah, you're right, you're right.
But, yeah, you say your phone about to die?
Well, I just plugged it up. I just saw that, okay, you know, okay, had about 15%, cool. So I plugged it up, so we're good.
Okay. And another thing I had wanted to ask you was leveraging your time.
How important is that? Very. What, in order for people to be good entrepreneurs, okay. I thought about this the other day, and I was thinking about doing a Facebook Live, and I still may do it based on this conversation as well, because I can kind of go into what I'm about to say as far as that goes. Sales organizations, business organizations typically look for people that are athletes. You ever wonder why?
Yeah.
Well, the discipline it takes to be an athlete also is the same skill set it takes to be a successful salesperson or a successful business owner. What it basically means is mentally you've trained yourself to deal with adversity and overcome it. You know, most people will start a business, especially people who don't have a background in it, but they just something had a burning desire. And then when things got tough, they didn't know what to do. So they just basically throw in the towel and say, oh, this is just too hard, you know, right. and quit, right. you know. But athletes are trained, and also they do this in the military, you know, when it's too tough for others, it's just right for me. You know, so you have to, that's what you have to tell yourself. You know, the journey, the rewards from the journey is far outweighs, you know, any adversity you go through. You just got to get over the hump. You know, you got to keep fighting for it. And if you're a kind of person who, you know, quits when things get rough, you're not going to make it. So it's all right. about, I say all that to say, discipline is key. And discipline is what time management is. It's having the discipline to allocate your time in a productive way. And don't let any minute of your day be unproductive. You know, it's everything has a value. Time literally is money. None of us know how much time we got on this earth. You know, this could be my last one today. This podcast could go up in infamy because it was the last thing I ever did, you know. So,
right here. Yeah.
So you have to really take that attitude and have a discipline to make sure what I call MMA, which people associate with mixed martial arts, MMA to me means money making activity.
You know? I like that.
So what are your money making activities? I coach a lot of people. And I also have my own coaches and mentors that I pay a whole lot of money to kind of share some of the stuff that I'm sharing with you now. You know, sometimes you need, you know, if you got to be a person that one can overcome adversity, will buckle down and bear down and get through whatever your tough hurdles are. But you also need to be your own cheerleader because nobody else is going to cheer for you. They'll cheer for you after you're successful.
Right. That's right.
I got a whole hundreds of friends that, you know, I'm at the beginning of something. So, yeah, I want to do this. That, yeah, that sounds good. You know, I go, well, hey, are you interested in partnering with me or whatever? I don't know. I think about it. You know, are you interested in investing? But, you know, fortunately, I have a track record now that, you know, it's like, well, how do I get in on it? I go, it's too late. You know, I don't need you now. I got the first cash flow. I don't need you. You know, so you know, when I come to you at the beginning, I say, okay, I'm going to form a company. We're going to do LLC. We're going to, or however we structure it, we're going to incorporate it. You know, you'll have your share of the stock of that company, and let's make this thing work. You know, but don't come to me after the fact. You know, I mean, you know, there was a time when you could have bought Apple for $15 a share, and people will say, oh yeah, that's a sign the company's going under. Well, if you'd have bought it at $15 a share, let's say you bought $1,000 worth then, well, a year later, it was going for 50-something, and then it got as high as 90, 98 or something, 96, 98 a share. Now, imagine if you'd have got it at 15 and you had $1,000 worth of it, you know, or let's say you had 1,000 shares and it split a few times after that. You know, you wouldn't have to work right now. I mean, you know, you're good.
Okay.
You know, so you have to have, especially the thing that's disturbing to me now, and I have a daughter that's 28, and I kind of fear for her based on what I'm about to say, but the world accelerates far faster now than it has ever accelerated. It used to be that a guy could have an idea, he worked the idea, you know, it may take him 3 to 5 years to really get any legs up under him with that idea, and then, you know, it becomes a profitable enterprise, and, you know, the rest is history, or he failed, you know, and did something else, or reworked it and rebranded it and, you know, tried it again until he found the formula that worked for him. But now people are in the business of building companies simply for them to be positioned in a way that they can sell it. Netflix is a good example. Netflix is not profitable, but it's dominating market share. It's getting all the subscribers it can. Because, you know, I mean, we're about to see the streaming wars. You know, Disney has just launched their streaming platform. It's like, how many $8 and $6 and $10 and $5 streaming platforms are you going to have out there? Well, it's going to be just like the dot-com boom and the telecom boom. You're going to have all these companies that have merged that are streaming with all this content. And it's great for content creators because they all need content. But at the end of the day, whoever has the largest market share and the deepest pocket is going to buy those other ones up. And then it'll end up, there'll be maybe three or four, and you know, that everybody uses, that they bought up the other 100 that didn't make it.
And we all know, staying in Florida, that Disney, that Mickey is the pimp. We already know.
Yeah. This is not going anywhere. You know, they'll start giving their stuff away for a dollar just to get market share.
Okay.
You know, and then Netflix is saying, like, wait a minute. You know, we need to team up. You know, we're Disney, man. You know, we got on ABC, we got Sony, we got the Marvel, we got all this stuff, man. We don't need you, Netflix. I'll tell you what we'll do, though. We'll buy you. How about that?
I believe that's going to happen, too.
And that's what's going to happen. You know, the big dog gets the bone every time.
That's it.
You know, but I mean, hey, if you were one of the founders of Netflix or had stock in it when the stock was relatively low, well, hey, sell it. Time to cash. You know, I bought it in Netflix when it was selling for 58 cents a share. you know, not me. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, there are people who the founders, you know, they got the thing for nothing because it was worth nothing. You know, just like Bitcoin. You know, I had a guy tell me about Bitcoin 15 years ago, and I just got a bad explanation. I'm like, huh? What are you talking about? You know, sounds like some kind of illegal Ponzi scheme to me. What are you talking? No, just buy some. He said, just take 10 grand and just hold on to it.
What?
And I wish I'd have listened. Man. That guy is now a millionaire, and he, I don't know if you follow Rodney Burton, but, you know, he's Bitcoin Rodney now, you know. He bought a Lamborghini with some of his money, you know, but he told me.
Yeah.
I just should have listened. I said, man, that sounds like that's illegal, man. I don't know. But I got a bad, you know, I got a bad explanation. And then, you know, a few years later, I'm seeing all this excitement about Bitcoin. I'm like, why does that sound familiar? And I'm like, Rodney, you do it? Yeah. He said, man, that's that thing I was telling you about a couple years ago. You bought,
man.
Did you buy some? No, I didn't, because I didn't understand what you were talking about. He says, man, I told you just buy 10 grand and hold on to it. That's what I did.
Man.
You know, and that got up to as high as 14,000, you know, a coin. You know,
man.
Shit. He got in when it was like, you know, $10-$12 for Bitcoin.
Wow. I actually got a young brother that I want to introduce you to. He's a professional coin collector.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll shoot you his information, you know, okay, later on. Yeah.
And so, you know, the one thing I never worry about is there will always be opportunity in the world. You just have to put yourself in a position and be ready to take advantage of it when it happens. You know, and that's why I try to get people to understand. Don't think about today. You know, it's like a war's coming. Do you have your ammunition? Do you have your soldiers together? Are you ready to go to battle? Or are you sitting out here waiting to see what happens, and then you're going to try to jump in when everybody else is jumping in? You know, by the time you do that, it's over. You know,
it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Yeah, that's just the way it is. You know, you got to have that vision to say, yeah, I think that'll work, and I'm going to put some money in it. You know, I don't quite understand it, but it sounds like it might work, so let's do it.
Yeah, I missed a couple of opportunities too. Like when the Red Box came out, remember the Red Box?
Oh, yeah, hey, who knew?
Yeah, my lady.
I say, like, who knew? I heard that too. That sounds like Blockbuster. It's already a block. These guys will never take over a box. Why would anybody go to a box? You have the whole store right there. Why would I go to the box? You know, who knew?
Because we saw the machine, right?
Yeah.
My lady was like, she was like, go get a movie. I'm like, hold on. Why would I get the movie? I want the whole machine. You know, that's just the way I think.
Yeah.
And the owner was sitting there. I was like, excuse me, do you own this? He was like, yeah, blah, blah. You know, I'm conversating with her, trying to see how do you get to own one.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did is that they zoned it by the area code.
Oh.
And when I talked to the people, they redlined it. Yeah. Huh? And I called the people. I was like, well, we don't have any in your area code. So they monopolized on it. Then all of a sudden they started popping up. Boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
Yeah. So they got her number. Say, well, hey, let me invest in what you're doing. You know, a piece of something, I was slipping on that. Nothing. Yeah, I mean, you gotta have an entrepreneurial mind. If you can't get in directly, man, hey, it's better to get a piece of something than 100% of nothing.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things that I've didn't have the lion's share, but I had enough of it that it was worth the investment. You know, and that's really the thing you need to do. Just make sure that you got your money working as hard for you as you are for it. Yep.
Nothing like making money in your sleep.
Hey, it's made me unemployable for the last 25 years. So.
I hear that.
Yeah, you know, what do you do exactly? Hey, nothing.
That's where I'm going to get to.
Yeah, I got two answers when people say, what exactly do you do? It's either nothing or whatever the fuck I want. I'm sorry.
No. This is a podcast, man. You can drop anything.
Oh,
we all good.
Good. And I can speak how I always speak.
Yeah. That's why I invited you on here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know if you saw the story I did on the live yesterday about when I was at the car dealership. And, you know, I mean, I'm like, I decided not to buy the new truck, but hell, it was a hell of a deal. But, you know, what made that happen is the power of money. You know, you say, we know this cat's a buyer. He ain't a maybe. He's a definite. You just convince him to buy it today. You know, that's what you got to sell him on. And the only way you're going to do that is because it's not like I didn't come there looking for a vehicle. I came there for a oil change. You know, you got numbers you got to hit every month. You know, I mean, my personal guy actually called me this morning after he got my message and said, you know, man, I need you to come in. I said, well, man, I'll come 3 o'clock or so and we'll talk about it. I said, I really hadn't planned on doing this for another 6 months or so, but I don't know. I mean, it was a sweet enough deal yesterday, but you know, I didn't pull the trigger on it because that's not in my plan, you know, but sometimes you got to go outside your plan when the opportunity presents itself. I mean, they knock another five or hell, they knock another five off this shit. It's a done deal, you know, because then I would be acquiring a $57,000 vehicle, the sticker price on it for around $32,000. I just drive the shit off the lot and put for sale on it and go sell it for, you know, 48.
That's what I'm talking about. No, I didn't see that one, but I did see something when you were looking at a boat.
Yeah, my neighbor I've been thinking about a boat for a while here. I mean, you know, we're in Florida and I'm surrounded by water.
The words right out of my
you
mouth.
Know, so, you know, but I just can't. See, a boat is one of those things that you got to have the time to enjoy it. And if you don't have the time to enjoy it, it now becomes a money pit. And everybody that I know that has a boat, you know, they love it initially. And then, you know, a year later, they're like, man, I hate this thing, man. It's just a money pit. I don't have time to go out there and do whatever, whatever, but I still got to maintain it. Still got to do this and that. The best way probably to get the boat, that thing I got that I want a boat, is to join one of these clubs that they already have the boats and just, you know, say, okay, they got different kinds of boats that you basically as a member can just rent for the day or whatever. And then it's like you get all the benefits of having a boat without all the downsides of owning the boat, you know? So that's probably the way I'm going to go. But then I can get a really nice boat based on the level of membership. And whenever I want to use it, just, you know, reserve the time and go out there and do what I want to do. Cause, you know, I mean, hey, you're not going to be out there so many times a year anyway, you know?
Right.
I don't want to see it sitting, you know, in my, you know, in a marina somewhere. I'm paying fees and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm like, man, how often do you go out? Well, I went out about 6 months ago. Probably will go out another month or two, but, you know, three, four times a year would probably be the most use I get out of it anyway. Everybody else will be enjoying it, but hey, story of my life.
Oh man, this is really what I had wanted to do. Excuse me. Try to give my listeners some more insight. Cause my station, you know, it varies. Sometimes I get serious, sometimes I rant, sometimes I just talk shit. You know what I'm saying? But today, ladies and gentlemen, we dropped some gems, you know what I'm saying? With Mr. Mm-hmm. Leonard Kemp.
Mm-hmm. I'm the guy to see if you ever thought about becoming a billionaire, because there's no sense in talking millionaires because everybody's a millionaire. They just don't know it. But in the age of billionaires, if you ever want to reach that level of success, I'm one of the guys you need to have on your team. You know, because not only do I bring the funding aspects of it, but, you know, there's coaching involved and helping you design a plan that's going to be successful, because I want you to be successful, because when you're successful, you're going to bring me more clients.
Right.
I have a group of guys that do these automations for Amazon, and it's a software platform. They sell it to people who do that and want to be at the high levels with their stores, but it's a $50,000 price to get in. You know, I think that the lower level is 15, the top level is $50,000. And that's just the implementation part. You still got to, you know, have inventory and all that stuff, you know, and these guys know how to do it. So now it's like, okay, you got your store. Let's make it a successful and a profitable enterprise for you, but it's going to cost you $50,000, and they're going to do all the implementation, all the work and do everything it needs to do, and you just collect the check. You know, it's not a bad deal if you got $50,000.
Right.
You know, most people are able to get their businesses in the $10,000 range, where it's consistently, you know, $10,000, $12,000 a month. Then they hit a wall, and the wall is really there artificially because Amazon controls a lot of how you do things and what you do, and these guys have figured out workarounds and things that they could do that will, you know, get your product listed more often in the rotation and things like that, so that, you know, you're constantly and consistently selling more of whatever it is you're selling.
Man, okay.
You know, so each one of those guys, I mean, you know, just a couple of guys who contacted me about funding, and I funded them. You know, they formed a group, formed another company, got together, and now they're all, you know, I fund whoever, you know.
That's what's up. Yeah. I was just thinking, had a loss for words right there, just listening to what you were saying.
Mm-hmm. And there's no shortage of money out there. It's just you gotta go out there and get it. It ain't gonna, you know, everybody wants to win the lottery, but if you're not buying tickets, how are you gonna win?
True, true.
So, you know, you gotta believe. You gotta believe first. That's really where all things begin and end. You gotta believe you can make it happen. And if you believe that, then hey, the rest of it is just mentoring and connecting with the right people and, you know, make it happen for you.
Most definitely, most definitely. That's why I try to surround myself with people like you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. If you surround yourself with successful people, you will only be successful.
I believe that.
Water seeks its own level. So if you're not a millionaire and you want to be a millionaire, hang out with millionaires. They got completely different conversations than what you're hearing right now. Okay. You know, my guys sitting around talking about cigars. You know, sometimes we just come up with ideas just off the cuff that are worth millions of dollars. You know, those are the things you want to have your ear and say, oh, yeah, why don't I do that? You know?
That's right.
You know, so it's, you know, opportunity creates opportunity, and being in the presence of people that are actually moving things and moving the planet and making things work. You know, those are guys you want to be around. You know, a guy who's, you know, a street sweeper, garbage collector, plumber,
hey, whatever. That's me right there.
You know,
garbage collector hustling.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you could tell me everything there is to know about the garbage business, but hey, man, unless we gonna get some routes and get waste management out of the picture, you know, hey,
man, you hit it right, man. You already went straight to the mafia. I hear you.
I know. Oh, okay. I didn't want to go and say that, but yeah, you know, you gotta
get the podcast, man. Fuck this shit.
You gotta get those Gambinos to give it up, but they ain't gonna give it up easy. You know, that's a multi-billion-dollar industry. It's like, hey, here's money in trash. You know. Yeah. You can point your finger at me if you want, but you know what? Hey, I'm a billionaire. What you doing?
Mm-hmm. You know, exactly.
Yeah, I collect garbage, but I'm a billionaire garbage man. What are you talking about?
That's right.
And that's the thing that I also do some coaching with or mentoring with young people, and I have to enlighten them and tell them. I said every occupation out there has a million-dollar component. They go, what do you mean by that, Mr. Campbell? I said, you know, if you're a person that wipes butt somewhere out here in America, there's a person that's making millions wiping butt. I don't believe that. I said, hey, I know a nurse right now that has one patient. She gets paid $150,000 a year.
Yeah. That's facts.
Now, her patient is a billionaire, but hey, she's still
one patient. Person,
one patient, $150,000 plus expenses, you know?
Okay.
And her job is to make sure he stays alive and healthy so he can make more money, you know? And that's, you know, you guys have to look at what is it that's out there, that where there's a need, where there's an opportunity, and build a, you know, build a business around it and scale it up to the point to where it's a multi-million dollar enterprise. Do that with anything.
Yep. I believe in making the right connections too, no matter where you are. Because in sanitation, I have met so many people and made so many connections.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was out there with Morgan and Morgan,
right
out there in the Lake Mary area. Yeah.
Right.
Met him, you know, all kind of people, man.
Yeah. Here's a million-dollar idea that we came up smoking cigars one time that none of us acted upon, but it stayed in the back of my mind. But you know how you ride around town and you see these guys who will work for food?
Yeah.
You know, what if they had a sign that advertised Morgan & Morgan? And it's,
yeah.
Morgan & Morgan, we support the homeless. You know, we can help you. And when we help you, we help the homeless. And got their phone.
See what I'm saying?
There. And you know, you still give the guy a dime right where, but he's, you know, he's also getting paid to stand there and hold that sign.
Yeah.
Now imagine if you Especially, imagine you're a network marketer. I don't know why no one's ever done this, but I'm a guy that thinks out of the bag. But you're a network marketer. You got this product. You know, got a website. You want to, you know, all you got to do, these signs cost $1 a piece. You know, say, hey, dude, I'll give you $20 to hold this sign. It says support the homeless. And, you know, hey, if you want CDB, go to, you know, cdbofTampa.com. Now, imagine. Right. All over a city like Orlando, every corner you turn,
yes,
here's this CDB sign. Well, let me know, and everybody's mobile, so you're on the phone. You know, you're generating traffic at pennies on the dollar. Some people are going to buy stuff. Some people are going to support you because you're supporting the homeless. Put on there, we support the homeless and we support vets.
Man, you're gonna see on cardboard signs saying "CyberShop Podcast" all over Orlando.
Boom. Starting tomorrow. $1 million idea. Now you got the idea. People are seeing it. Somebody says, oh man, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that too. Now they're going to be your competitor. So now you got to scale fast and quickly so that you corner the market. Oh, you want to advertise with my people? My people only advertise through me. I am their agent. Hey, I can add you. I can add you to the other side of the sign. So half the time is this one. Other half is that one.
Okay.
See how that works? Now I'm selling space. You know?
Okay. Doubled up on it.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, hey, guy gets swayed all day to hold the sign, but hey, you're charging $1,000 a day for him to hold the sign. Man. It's America, man. Yeah, boom. There's your $1 million idea.
I'll take it.
You know? I have bunches of them, but some of them I just don't have the time because I'm only one guy. Let's stick with this, you know, don't kill your cash cow trying to chase another one, trying to chase a unicorn, right. You know. Unicorns are great, but that's still a unicorn. Now, so, you know, eventually somebody will make it a cash cow, but it's an easy idea, you know, it's really easy. You know, Bob's Sandwich Shop, well, Bob's right around the corner. Or, hey, the bum may be standing right in front of Bob's, you know. Eat at Bob's, he makes a great sandwich. Have a picture of a sandwich there. Hey, support the homeless, support the homeless and the vets. God bless.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Cost you $1. You know?
Okay.
Hey, dude, you know, I'm going to have this guy stand out here, man. You know, I'm going to charge you $30 a day. I'm going to put him all over town. How many you want?
Bam.
You know, those signs have two sides. He paying you $30. Somebody else paying you $30. $60. Guy holding the sign, he's still collecting his $5 or $10 or whatever, you know. But he also making money, he advertising.
Yeah, he'll love that. They'll love that.
Yeah, you know, just hold a sign up, bro. And hey, when you walk up to the car, you say, hey, eat at Joe's. Joe's right there, man. They got a hell of a sandwich. You know. Hey, Joe's got a special today. You know, it's a special Joe's Reuben. Tell him you saw this sign, he'll knock, you know. 10% off, whatever, you know. It's all marketing. It's all, you know, it's just one of those things because I was like, man, is there, you know, because I it started the joke and I say, is there some kind of we'll work for food franchises everywhere I go? We'll work for food, you know? Like, hey, how about let's work for some money?
Okay.
You know, because everybody who goes by read that sign. Some gave. Many didn't. But they all read that sign. You know, same principle, the guy who's spinning a sign, you know, with the home developments, you know, guys flipping a sign. You can't even read it during the sign because he's too busy doing tricks with the sign, you know, but you're looking at him, you know, and down there, he'll stop the sign long enough to go, oh, make it right here. Oh, okay. Let me go check out these houses down here. You know, so it's just crazy, man. But there's so many simple things like that you could do. That are highly profitable that, you know, just take a little sweat equity and the rest will work itself out.
Man, that's what's up.
You know, and that's really how you got to think. You know, I mean, one of the things I kind of teach people with is, you know, tell them a McDonald's story. I say, you know, what business is McDonald's in? And everybody, you know, most people say, well, in the hamburger business. And no, they're not.
Don't they own Boston Market too?
I'm not sure, but it wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me. But McDonald's is really in the real estate business. You know?
Say what?
Yeah, they're in the real estate business.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you're not going to see a McDonald's in a location that's not a high value location. So even if the restaurant doesn't work, the value of that land that it's built up on is worth a lot of money too. You know, you need to even get a franchise for a McDonald's, you need $3 million liquid.
Right.
You know, yeah, we don't even have a conversation with you if you don't have that. You know, you're wasting our time. And the average McDonald will make for the owner about $1 million more or less change. Some more, but on average, it's about $1 million. So you spend $3 million, you make $1 million a year, you own a thing for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. Hey.
Yeah.
Good. You know, your second year, you're supposed to be having another location now. Your third year is supposed to have another location. So every time you build one as an owner, you're making $1 million. And there's always a Burger King next to McDonald's. The reason being is because McDonald's has done all the hard work. This is a good location. This should work here. Okay, well, McDonald's is there. Let's see what land is close by. Hey, there's some property across the street. Okay, well, shit, we sell burgers too. You know?
So yeah, I noticed that.
You build next. Yeah, that's why you see that. Because McDonald's has already done the hard work. They've, you know, they may put it in the middle of nowhere because there's a development happening behind, you know, a mile or two away. And, you know, you go, why would somebody build a McDonald's there? Then you come back a year later, you go, oh, wow. There's over 50,000 homes they built over here in this area. And this is the only McDonald's. It's on the main way in and out.
Bam.
You know, so, you know, even the hamburger business, build next to McDonald's. Because you just, you know, McDonald's will have the line, and then there's people say, man, look, I can't wait in the line. Well, hey, look across the street. There's Burger King. It's not much of a line, you know? So by default, they sell burgers. Or if you're a Checkers, by default, you sell burgers.
Man, okay.
Now, I know a place my parents live, they have a McDonald's on one corner, a Burger King right next to it, and across the street, there's a Checkers. And depending on what time of day it is, they're all full.
Man, okay.
Because in that particular area, that's the only show in town. That's it.
That's what's up.
You know, so which one you want? Burger's a burger, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so imagine you got some land for, you know, you got an acre of land, you put a Burger King or McDonald's on there, and then it got developed. You know, well, you're not going to close the Burger King down. But let's just say, I don't know, something happens or whatever. You've created a location that's high traffic. So you're going to make money either way. You know, so that's what I call forward thinking. But that's years of experience and trial and error and knowing what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, why we do it the McDonald's way. If you want to be successful, do it the McDonald's way. If you want to fail, do it your way.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. But check this out, though. We're getting kind of crunched on the time right now.
Okay, is there, cool.
You can let everybody know where you're at one more time before we get out of here.
Okay. If you need funding or things of that nature, or just, you know, I do free consultations, or me or my staff will do free consultation. Our website is www.bbaofusa.com, bbaofusa.com. And our office number is 813-963-5300.
That's what's up. And you know what? I want to invite you back on in the future, if that's
sure.
Okay with you.
Sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I kick it with you on Facebook, so. We keep in touch.
Yeah, this is a good thing. I had fun. I've never been interviewed before, so hey.
Man. And you know what? You also got a podcast set up now.
Yeah, and I'll say, huh? Uh-oh, they done messed up now. You done turned me on to something else.
You get sponsorship on there, too. You get your CPMs jumping on the podcast.
Yeah, man, I got all, you know, been out here in these streets for a while. I got all kinds of nuggets to drop, you know. You just got to be able to pick them up, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't always have to be financial, you know. We can get down.
Right, right.
But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed the show with our special guest, Mr. Leonard Campbell. And I'm going to hit you up after I finish editing this, Leonard, all right?
All right, cool.
And we up out this bitch.
All right.